Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I do believe that my next guest is on the line. I want to tell you though that very short while ago actually came across an article in the Times of Israel. The headline of the article was the following. It said, "Immersive Arabic program invites Israelis to blend into life in Abu Ghosh." Got reading about the article, came across this young Israeli. His name is Chen Cooperman, and he's the man behind this immersive program. I thought how wonderful it would be to talk to him, because I'm all about people talking to each other. Chen Cooperman, shalom lecha.
Shalom, shalom.
Great.
Nice to meet you.
Great to have you with us on Chai FM. Got a massive smile on my face. And I think before we even go anywhere with this chat this afternoon, tell me a little bit about yourself and how is it that this became your interest?
Sure. So actually, I'm 30 years old. I actually started my career with studying mathematics, and I served in the army in the intelligence corps, doing things that had to do with technology, nothing to do with Arabic, not language or culture. But when I finished my army service, a lot of young Israelis, when they finish their service, they tend to take a trip sometimes to the east, like to India, Burma, etc., sometimes to South America.
Yeah.
I chose to travel to the east, and I found my love to languages just during my trip. When I came back to Israel, I decided to study Arabic. I think it's the second most important language in the region. Maybe people will disagree and say it's the most important language in the region, as we have 250 million Arabs living around us. So I started studying Arabic. And when I finished my studies, I felt that I wanted to teach Arabic in a different way. I felt that Arabic studies have to be immersive in Israel. We have the opportunity to immerse with Arabs that live around us and get to know them much better. And that's why I founded Bender.
Let's just go back a step or two, because for those of us listening to you in South Africa who don't understand the Israeli school system, are you really telling me that Arabic is not a compulsory subject at all in school in Israel?
So I think in most Jewish Israeli schools, you do study Arabic a little bit in 7th grade and 8th grade and 9th grade. In most schools, I can say maybe about 80% of the schools, you do study Arabic. I mean, most people would recognize some of the letters and would know what it's called, MSA. It's the modern standard Arabic, the Arabic that people use in articles and web newspapers, in the media. But they don't study colloquial Arabic. That means they can't have a normal conversation day to day in Arabic. That's correct.
So tell us a little bit more about Blendr.
Mm-hmm. So Blendr is short for Blend Arabic. What we do is we don't only teach Arabic as a language, we teach Arabic as a culture. And also we blend in the sense that we meet Arab speakers, native Arab speakers, as part of our programs. We have all kinds of programs. The most famous one is in fact the program that you read about in the Times of Israel. It's a program that invites Jewish Israelis to study Arabic in Arab villages. Currently we have just one place, but we're trying to expand and open another spot in the north of Israel. Our first spot is in Abu Ghosh. It's an Arab village about 15 minutes away from Jerusalem. And we have also programs for organizations, and we work all across the country. Actually, we have hundreds of students, close to 1,000 students who are studying with us.
Good to hear, Chen, because from a distance, it appears to me as if the middle ground in Israel has become very, very small. Everything appears to have been polarized, whether it was on the Arab side of the issue or the Israeli side of the issue. The Israeli left, to a very large extent, has ceased to be an important force in Israeli politics. And one wonders where the room is for you to initiate a program like this, and the extent to which you are being supported and by whom.
So let me address, first of all, you were talking about a consensus and things that people agree about. I have to let you know that I think it's a good thing that people, regardless of their political views, find Arabic as something which is interesting and something they're willing and wanting to learn.
Yeah.
Even if they're left wing and even if they're white right wing, and our students come from a diverse, they come from all parts of Israeli society. We even have Haredi people who study with us. We have people who live, Jewish people who live in the West Bank.
Okay.
We have everybody studying with us.
Yep.
And that's important to say, that maybe we might disagree with each other on different things, but Arabic has become a consensus, which I think is a good thing. Or maybe it's not a total consensus in the sense that everybody is studying right now Arabic, but I think everybody understands that Arabic is an important thing to study, which is a good thing in my opinion.
And again, because Jerusalem is such a hot spot, the fact that you found a Arab village in Jerusalem that was willing to take people in, I mean, to what extent is there safety issues here?
So I just want to correct you. Abu Ghosh is not a village inside Jerusalem. It's the outskirts of Jerusalem. It's not, let's say it's not considered part of East Jerusalem at all. It's about 15, 20 kilometers west of Jerusalem. So it's on the way to Tel Aviv. And in that sense, you don't have the political issues that, that exist in East Jerusalem. It's a little bit different. The people in Abu Ghosh are citizens of Israel. And if you talk to people here, they're really, really open to the project. They're proud that they're inviting Jewish Israelis to learn the language. And I think in some sense, they're kind of a bridge because, the Jewish people who live here, actually, I'm not like, it's important to say that there are Jews who live constantly in Abu Ghosh. There are people who live here, reside here for years. And of course, they're not they're not the Arab people who lived here for hundreds of years. And they're welcome and they're part of the community. And in that sense, bringing Jews to come here, even if we're about 20 people who come once a month or once a year or whatever, it's not something new for the people of Abu Ghosh. The residents of Abu Ghosh are welcoming Jews from all across the country.
I'm going way off topic here, but I'm thinking, isn't it near Mortsa? Doesn't it have some great restaurants?
It's true. Abu Ghosh are very famous for their restaurants.
I thought so.
It's close to Mortsa. So I guess, So yeah,
I guess, I guess I have eaten myself from one end of Israel to the other. That's for sure. But I want to get back to the Arabic Israel story because I find it absolutely fascinating the extent to which nobody understands each other's language. And given that they're both Semitic languages, how difficult is it to cross over? How long did it take you to develop any kind of meaningful fluency in Arabic with a Hebrew base?
Uh-huh. So I must say, Arabic is considered one of the toughest languages in the world. It's because of a few reasons. One of them is the fact that Arabic is a language which has the colloquial Arabic and you have the standard Arabic, which that means there is a diglossia. In the language, and actually when you want to study Arabic, you have to study two languages.
Wow.
Which makes it tough.
Wow.
Yeah, and another thing that makes it tough is the dialects. I mean, English has dialects as well, but in Arabic, just if you go to the Arabic society in Israel, you have about six different dialects just here. And if you cross the border to Lebanon or Syria or Jordan or Iraq, it becomes different and there's changes. There's a lot to study. It's very tough. But the good thing is that I think the people who have it, the easiest time to study Arabic are the Hebrew speakers. Because in fact, we are both Semitic languages and there's a lot in common. I could say about 35% of the roots are shared. The roots in the sense, the shorashim in the language.
Okay. I'm with you.
So it is easier for Israelis, but it's not an easy language to study.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So just a question to you, because I played a song here on Chai FM probably about 3 weeks ago. It was by Nasreen Kadri. It was called Tismani. And I had absolutely no idea what Tismani meant. And I started to concentrate a little harder and I thought, listen to me.
Exactly.
Would that be the root of Tisma?
Exactly.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. If you think about it, shalom and salam are very similar words, and the sha sound in Hebrew tends to become a sa sound in Arabic. And in that sense, it shouldn't surprise you that shama ofech becomes sema. In Arabic.
Absolutely. Makes perfect sense. So for those of us who would love to attend a basic Arabic course, what would you recommend? Where can one do that?
Well, first of all, we teach Arabic to English speakers. So people who have no basics in Hebrew at all and want to study with Blender, we have teachers and tutors that can teach from abroad. And of course, if anybody comes to Israel anytime soon, they're welcome to come and do a short course or an intensive course and join us. And of course, I think studying Hebrew is a very good step towards the way of learning Arabic. It makes it much more easier because, as I said, Arabic is kind of tough. But yeah, you can contact us on our website. We have a website. It's blendarabicngo.com. And we'll be happy to help you guys.
So generally, I leave an interview at this point and I play a song, but I've spoken to you for too long, so I might as well just talk to you up until 5 o'clock. And I'm finding this absolutely fascinating because I think language is just so incredibly important as a bridge. And I'm wondering how you personally felt having lived in Israel over the past couple of months when we had these really significantly different uprisings or civil unrest in Jaffa, in Bat Yam, in Lod, in the mixed cities. And I wonder to what extent that affected it is what you're doing. To what extent did you feel, oh gosh, I'm wasting my time? Or were you re-energized and did you find what you're doing even more important in light of what was happening within Israeli society?
So I think it's a very important question. I'm happy you raised that thing up. I must say, as a head of an Arabic school, which is an NGO that comes to connect different populations in the Israeli society, of course, having this tension and the violence is something horrible. And I think I felt both of the things you mentioned. I felt in one sense that, oh my God, it's horrible.
Yeah.
In the other sense, though, I must say that interest in studying Arabic grew because of these events, because people wanted to became more curious to understand Arabic society, whether they agreed or not, or partially agreed or whatever. People just wanted to understand more. And the best way to understand people is to understand their language and the culture. And I think that's the importance of studying Arabic in Israel, in my opinion.
It's kind of bizarre that I'm having this conversation with you, sounding surprised at some of your answers, because look at the society that I come from. Look at the fact that we as white South Africans, most of us at any rate, can't speak any Black African languages. And I mean, I know firsthand that when you make the smallest effort and you try, the sort of goodwill that comes your way. So, yeah, for that reason, I just think it's every bit as important for Israelis to learn Arabic as it is for us as South Africans to learn whatever native language it is that we choose to speak. Chen Kupperman, that was an absolute treat speaking to you. Very last question to you. If we want to find out more about Blendar, where do we go and how do we find it out?
So we have a Facebook page. The Facebook page is mostly in Hebrew, but if you come to our website, we have a website in English and you can have almost all the information right there. We have a website which is called blendarabicngo.com. It's our website and you can contact us from there, send us emails and ask any question, and when I'm there to help. And thank you so much for the opportunity. I think it's so important that the Jewish community abroad understands about the different things that happen in Israel, not just the bad stuff, but also the good stuff. And I think it's so very important to you. Yeah.
100%.
So thank you so much.
Shukran, toda rabalecha.
Toda.